Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies for...
Hello, everybody. God bless you today. This is Susan Puzio, and I want to welcome you to the Prophetic News radio broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. And we also have a YouTube channel, Susan Puzio, and a website, Prophetic News. And of course, we're on the Rapture Ready Radio Network, which is the network of our sister Jackie Alnor, and that's a great network. There's quite a few different ministries there for you to listen to, and we need all the help we can get, don't we? I mean, we are living in some very, very turbulent times, stressful times, crazy times, things you wouldn't believe. You couldn't make it up. Sometimes I think it would be really interesting to have a reality show of some of the things that happen in my life, and I'm sure some of the things that happen in your life, because people wouldn't think it was real if they knew. Oh, dear. But one thing that we do know is that this world is not our home. And our life is but a vapor, so we're only here for a short time. And do we ever feel misplaced in the times that we're living in? It was interesting the other night watching the debates, the Democrats, and I don't know, are they living in La La Land or Disneyland or what? Because they're saying, even then, and Joe Biden says, yeah, within 10 years, we're going to eliminate all fossil fuel. And how are you going to do that? What is wrong with you? Oh, I'm sure there's other forms of energy that can be used. There was a man years ago, I remember sometime, I guess, in the 1980s when somebody invented a car that ran on air. Well, of course, nobody wanted that, but I'm sure there's other ways you can run your car, and we can run things without using fossil fuel. But I believe God put fossil fuel here for a reason, and it came after the flood, I would say, for the most part, because there was many fossils that were left after the flood. And of course, that would mean there would be plenty of fuel available all over the world because of what the aftermath of the flood in Noah's day. So I don't think they used to say, "Well, we're going to run out of fuel," but you'd never run out of fossil fuel, really. They haven't. I don't think they have even begun to tap into the sources of fossil fuel. And you notice that sometimes when you buy a piece of property, they tell you that you own the property, but you don't own the mineral rights. And I guess there's a reason for that, right? Maybe some people know something we don't know, but you hear the craziest things. You hear the craziest things with what's going to happen to the government eventually, and probably it will happen eventually, because say people, most of the people that listen to this broadcast and myself and the other ministries that are involved in apologetics ministry, and exposing the false prophets and trying to bring a finish the Reformation, really, to try to reform the church. To we're never going to get people to behave 100% because it's just not going to happen. We all miss the mark here in our own lives, but I guess the most important thing is how we represent Jesus. How do we present him to the world? Because after all, we want people to accept him. We want people to accept his free gift of eternal life. So how is he portrayed? For the most part, he's portrayed as somebody that sits up in heaven, and you have to give him some money, otherwise he doesn't perform for people. So it's a sad state of affairs that that's the way on the majority of the broadcasting networks that Jesus is portrayed, and how Christianity is portrayed. So none of us are perfect, and we realize that, but we have to be careful about how we do portray the perfect one, the one that is perfect, and how we present him to a lost and dying world. Because either we believe people die and go to hell without Christ, or we don't believe that. And that is our whole motivation for ministry, is to bring people the good news and to share Jesus Christ with them. So, but nowadays, when you look at the so-called church as a whole, you see that it doesn't resemble the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't resemble Jesus Christ at all. It's a very worldly system, just like the world system. I would say there's a political battle that goes on with ministries like mine and ministries similar to mine, that we have enemies. We don't like to make enemies, and I don't understand why people would consider us an enemy. People that profess to know Jesus Christ, of course, many of them don't. Many of the popular people that you see on TV and you see in the newspapers and you see a lot on the internet, many of those people don't really know Jesus. So, but they would consider us an enemy. We're not their enemy. Maybe you can learn things from your critics, and I was thinking about this morning, that sometimes when people criticize me, or there's things they don't like about what I say or what I do, I try to listen to my critics, and I try to think to myself or ask myself, okay, is what they're saying to me true? If some of it is true, then I have to listen to it and I have to take it to heart. Just because somebody criticizes you doesn't mean they're your enemy. And it would be better for a lot of these people that we talk about if they would examine themselves and really have the fear of God in their life enough to realize that the things that they're doing, it brings a reproach to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It also brings a reproach to the real church that's here doing the work and trying to preach the gospel out of a pure heart, trying to change the whole mindset of why people go to church, of why they contribute to their church, trying to change the mindset of why people give. In order for people to stay strong in the Lord, especially in these end times, we have to really try to stay on the straight and narrow, because it's easy to veer off that path. And you see how these people, they claim to know Christ and then they sell out for fame and fortune, or sometimes not even fame, most of the time fortune, because a lot of these people really aren't household names. But they say, oh, I had a calling and I have a calling. I had a calling since I was a little kid, and I've received all these great prophecies about how great I'm going to be and what a great ministry I'm going to have. So that's not really what it's all about. It's not what kind of a great ministry you're going to have and what kind of great person you're going to be, because we're not. We're just not. And we can't look at ourselves better than we are. We have to look at ourselves the way we really are and realize that's why we need a Savior. That's why we have to ask God to help us, because if He didn't help us, if we didn't have God helping us, remember what a mess we were before God helped us. So just imagine what we would be like if we were 50, 60, or 70 years old, or even 80 years old, and we didn't have God in our life. What a messed up life that would be. Messed up. And so these people that sell out, they sell the gospel and they sell out, they wind up either drug addicts or alcoholics, or they wind up sex addicts, or they wind up killing somebody, or they don't wind up good. It doesn't wind up pretty. It won't. It won't. So they should really listen to their critics, or who they think their critics are, or who they think their enemies are, and examine yourself. But take, for instance, somebody like Paula White. Here's a lady that is married to a man that is a multimillionaire in his own right. I don't know how much money she has. And anyway, she didn't get her money like he did. He worked for it because he's in a rock band, and they had some very well-known songs that they sold a lot of records at the time, and they sold a lot of CDs or whatever. And anyway, over 100 million supposedly. So he made his money through his job. She made her money through scamming people. But here's a woman, okay, she's got a son, she has grandchildren. She has enough money really to go away. She doesn't need to be bothering the people of God anymore. And then she has connections with the president, which I don't understand. I don't endorse it. I think it's ridiculous that Donald Trump has somebody like Paula White as his spiritual advisor. What is she going to advise him on? She's a con artist. So, but anyway, here's this woman that really she could retire and have a good life in a sense. Of course, she's not really going to have a good life because unless she repents of her wicked ways, but she can't control herself. She has to keep going out and scamming people for money. She won't stop. So that's the case for a lot of these people, is they have enough money. They might have what they think is a successful private life. They have some kind of fame. They have some good connections, but yet they can't control themselves. It's like a heroin addict or a drug addict. They have to be seen and they have to be heard, and they can't stop collecting money. And it's like the Bible says, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? So what does it profit? It doesn't profit anything. It might profit for a little while you're enjoying the money, but all that is fleeting. That stuff can disappear. You hear of people that they made $100 million or they made $200 million and then they're bankrupt. They have no money left. So your marriage could end in divorce. So there's a lot of things that could happen in the natural. You don't know what's going to happen in your life. Sometimes you think you know. And just when you're riding along and your life is going the way you want it to go, then boom, something happens and it disrupts your whole life. And so you just don't know. Not as long as we're in this world, but anyway, today we're going to touch on this incident with Juanita Bynum, who, you know, this is another crazy woman, because okay, she achieved a little bit of fame when T.D. Jakes brought her on for his conferences, Women Thou Art Loosed, and so she was all over the place, really, and she calls herself a prophetess, and she got married at one point a few years back, and she married this Bishop Weeks guy, and they wound up beating each other up, and it was a messy, messy situation. I think he got arrested. I think she got arrested, and then they had this big public back and forth, and then finally they got divorced. So that and she spent $1 million on her wedding. Imagine spending $1 million on a wedding. $1 million. And the thing is, she didn't get that money by just preaching the gospel. She started selling the gospel. She started pimping herself out and doing telethons and collecting seed faith gifts and telling people that they had to send $300, $3,500. And at one point, she had a birthday party for herself, and you had to pay $250 to go to her birthday party. So she cleaned up, she raked in quite a bit of cash, even at her birthday celebration. But after she got this divorce, she kind of went away for a while. You didn't hear that much about her, but she was in and out of trouble. And what happened, and I'm going to play the audio of some of these things that happened with this pastor in Virginia, this John Moore, Pastor Johnny Moore, I guess his name is. And anyway, she was invited to his church, and a few different things happened. But, and I'm going to play the audio and talk a little bit about the story. But she also, she also started this foundation called the Lotus Foundation. And she talks about Mahatma Gandhi, and she talks about this lotus flower. So what does a lotus flower have to do with anything that pertains to Christianity? It doesn't. It doesn't. I'm going to read. I have a little section on it in my book. Let me read this to you about this foundation that she started. The lotus is a plant that belongs to the Nalumbo genus, and it has long been associated with purity, rebirth, and divinity. Some, not all, of the lotus flower symbolism is different across the major cultures that it plays a role. For instance, in Buddhism, it is seen as a sign of purity associated with beauty in Hinduism and with the sun in Egyptology. More recently, the significance of the lotus has been incorporated into the Baha'i religion. A thing that is striking about the lotus is that although it often grows in mud and returns within it at night, it always flowers clean the following day. That makes it a great item to use for a metaphor. It also led the great Chinese philosopher Confucius to state, "I have a love for the lotus. While growing in mud, it still remains unstained." Now, why would she put that on her website? I'm not going to put on my website quotes from Hinduism and Confucius and Mahatma Gandhi. It kind of doesn't mix, right? So this was from a website that she had a couple years ago, and it was, she was calling herself at that time an ambassador, and I don't know if she still has this website up. I didn't look today, but she did have it up a couple of years ago, and she was supposedly an ambassador for this African country. But another interesting side note here is that she has a spiritual mother who's called Apostle V. This Vita Nichols, who's Juanita Bynum's so-called spiritual mother, is also the spiritual mother to David E. Taylor. And he says that Jesus appeared to him. He says Jesus appeared to him and gave him the keys to the kingdom. Oh, dear. Anyway, I think I might have loaded this audio of him. And apparently, I guess at one time they were friends or associates, whatever. And anyway, I guess she rebuked him about something. So then he goes off on her. And he's basically telling her, like any good cult leader would do, like, don't tell me what to do. And how dare you tell me anything? And I talk to God face to face and you don't. Nobody talks to God face to face. No. Nobody talks to God. Not on this planet, you don't. When you get to heaven, you will. But nobody talks to God face to face. Here, Jesus doesn't appear to people. He's not coming back to appear to people. He's coming again. That's called the second coming. But he doesn't step out of heaven to come down to earth to talk to people in person, especially false prophets and cult leaders. He especially doesn't do that. If they tell you that Jesus is appearing to them and Jesus is talking to them, it's not the Jesus we know. It's definitely not the Jesus that we know. It's another Jesus. And most people that do that anyway, they're just looking, they want you to think that they have something special that you don't have so that you could worship them and send them money. That's usually what it is. And people do give this guy money. My friend, the Wolf Tracker, who has the broadcast Contending for the Faith on Blog Talk Radio and Daily Manna from Heaven, he was doing a program about David E. Taylor recently, and he was selling Bibles. I think the Bibles were autographed by him. And he was asking people to give $10,000 for the Bibles that were autographed by him. And he said there must have been 12 or 15 people that actually went up and gave him $10,000 for a Bible with his autograph. So it's all about the money. It's all about the money. They just can't help themselves. What does it matter? It's okay. Okay, if people ask you for an autograph, if they want your autograph, that's fine. But to charge somebody $10,000 for your autograph, it's ridiculous. I don't know what's wrong with people. Why do they feel like they have to worship people and follow people? They can't do anything too much for you. People can be good to you. And they can be kind to you. They can be good friends and that kind of thing. But they certainly can't do the things that God can do for you or Jesus can do for you. We're always going to be disappointed in human beings in one way or another. But these people know how to manipulate. They know exactly what to do and how to do it. Anyway, I guess a couple weeks ago, Juanita was invited to this church in Virginia. And according to, I'm going to play some of this audio in a few minutes, but according to this young man named, I think it's Ryan Chandler. Anyway, he had invited Juanita to a conference in 2012 or 2013. And he had to give her $5,000 in advance. And he also had to buy her a first-class airline ticket. And he had to buy four other tickets, I think, three for her servants and one for her sound person. And they had to put her in a five-star hotel. And this is just upfront money. That's, we're not talking about the offering, which came later, but that's what she required. to come. And of course, you've got to be picked up. Usually, these people want to be picked up in limousines. That's usually what happens. So they might say that it doesn't happen, but it usually happens. It usually happens. I myself experienced something like that one time when I was over in London. I got off the plane after flying all night to get there, and I didn't have anybody waiting for me at the airport. But I heard that Robert Slerden came to town, and he was picked up in a white limousine. So it depends on who you are. I didn't have anybody offering me a limousine. I didn't even have anybody offering me a car most of the time. When I got off the plane, I usually went and rented a car and got myself where I needed to go. So if they picked me up, fine. If they didn't pick me up, that's okay. But a lot of these people, if you don't treat them like a diva, they get insulted. I had a conference one time, and I invited this lady. I had met her a few times, and I didn't really know her that well, but she seemed like she had a pretty good ministry. So I invited her because she happened to be in town. So we were at a retreat center, and they had a billboard out front. And nobody's name was on the billboard. I think we might have put it up on the billboard about the conference, but it didn't really matter because nobody was really driving by there. There weren't many people that came in and out of this place to even see a billboard. But she comes, and she came late, and there was a hotel there. So nobody greeted her. We told her how to check into the hotel, and we'd see her in the morning. So she tells me, I think the next day or whatever, she tells me, oh, my name is not on the billboard. She was all upset that her name wasn't on the billboard. And then she was very upset because nobody greeted her at the hotel. Well, everybody was sleeping because she got in late. So what was somebody supposed to do? Stand there and wait for her to appear to say hello? Like you can't get your room key and go to your room and go to sleep and wait until morning until we all get up to greet the person. But that diva behavior, like, who do you think you are? Just be normal. Whenever you're invited or somebody's invited to go to speak somewhere, we're just normal people going to deliver a message. So if people want to do something special for you, that's fine. But you can't expect this kind of the royal treatment and then have this kind of diva behavior. Oh, it's ridiculous. But anyway, she's a diva. Yeah, she's a diva. She might say that she doesn't have all these demands, but she has demands. Plus, when she was going to this conference, she has these servant girls that work for her. And according to Ryan Chandler, they treat her like a god. Oh, they practically bow down to her, which I can believe because I've seen some of this kind of thing being around certain ministries, and I see how some people treat them. So she said that before she arrives in a town, she has her servants go to the hotel and get her hotel room ready for her. Now imagine this. And I would be very curious to know if any of my friends out there ever had anybody lay out their underwear on. Who does that? So she has her staff lay out her underwear on her on the dresser or on the bed or something. Like, why can't you can't lay out your own underwear? Like, what is wrong with you? It's just ridiculous. So anyway, she goes to this conference, and she, of course, her staff goes ahead of her. She's not even there yet. And they go ahead of her, and they're laying out her underwear on the dresser and whatever, and getting the room ready for her. And they're praying in the room and cleansing all the devils out of the room. And so the pastor, the host pastor, because the hotel was in his name, he was able to get a key, which I think he had anyway, because they were getting the room ready for her for a couple of days to make sure it was just so. And so he knew she wasn't in the room because she didn't arrive yet at the hotel. Her staff did. And he went in. It was a suite of rooms. So when you go into a suite, you don't walk right in, usually into the bedroom. Well, he claims that he walked in and he saw luggage in the hallway, and he went to the hotel and said, did somebody else take her room? He thought it wasn't her or it wasn't the staff. So anyway, before she got to the hotel, her staff told her that the pastor had been in her room and he had seen her underwear. Well, a normal person, normal people, usually, they go to a hotel with their luggage, they bring their luggage in their room, or the bellboy brings it in or whatever, and you close the door and you unpack your suitcase. So I'm sure never in his wildest dreams did he claims he never went in the bedroom, but I could imagine never in his wildest dreams did he think he was going in. The insinuation from her is that he went into her room and he was looking at her underwear. And then she was saying she didn't know he planted a camera in there. So she's basically accusing this guy of being a pervert when she has no evidence of it at all. And so she backs out of She decides she's already in town. The conference is scheduled. And I don't know if she was going to speak that night or the next night or what, but she said she's canceling. She's not going to speak at the conference because the pastor came into her room and looked at her underwear. So anyway, after he had already spent thousands upon thousands of dollars, I guess, getting her there. I would say probably over $10,000 just to get her there. And then all the advertising he did, and who knows how much other money he had spent on booking this woman. And she backs out at the last minute. And so far, I haven't heard that she gave him his money back. I'm sure she didn't. But in one instance that she was booked in this Ryan Chandler's church, he actually sued her for breaking her contract, and he was trying to get his money back, which he claims he put out $13,000. He even put out more than that. And then she backed out of the contract and she wouldn't return his money. But she had also done this to an entertainment company called, I think it's ALW Entertainment, but they gave her something like $125,000 to put on a play. They were going to put on a play about her No More Sheets deal. So anyway, she backed out of it, and she also didn't give them their money back. And so they also sued her. And they had her arrested. I think they had her arrested in 2013 because they had sent her some court documents and she was supposed to respond to these documents. And then there was a hearing or something and she didn't show up. And so then they went ahead and had her arrested, which was a big embarrassment. But so what kind of woman of God is this? And these people, like this pastor over there in Virginia, John Moore and his wife, and this other guy, Ryan Chandler, Dr. Bynum, I don't know, where did she get her PhD from? Does she really have a PhD? Does she have an earned PhD? I'd like to know, Dr. Bynum, where you got your PhD. Also, why in the world would you even bring a woman like this into your church? This wolfette. Why would you even want somebody like that in your church to deceive your people? So you got what you paid for. You got what you paid for. You invite a scam artist to come, they're going to scam you. Most of the time, they're going to scam you. I'm sure there's more people out there that she's done this kind of thing to. I'm sure there is. I think probably you'll hear more stories coming from people because after this incident, even after this incident, Ryan Chandler, and you could see his video on YouTube, he went public with his experience about what happened to him and how she came to town, and then she decided she wasn't going to show up at his conference, and then she wouldn't give him his money back. So it's not the proper way to behave. She talks about in this audio that she does after the incident, she talks about learning proper etiquette. Well, I guess you could learn some proper etiquette yourself too, Juanita, and stop pimping people and telling people that if they give $30 or $300 or whatever, how much money they're going to give, that they're going to get miracles and they're going to get all kinds of things. Stop lying. Stop lying. You think your life is a mess now. You think your life was a mess a few years ago? It's going to be even a bigger mess if you don't repent and stop selling yourself out for money. Because maybe these pastors will learn a lesson. Even when you hear them, though, they're still saying, oh, we respect her and we wouldn't do it. I don't respect her. I don't respect any pimp out there that's selling Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. Why would we respect these people? Why? I don't understand it. It's like they're mesmerized or something. It's like they have stupid on their forehead. No. If somebody is low enough to treat you like that and to be dishonest and then to accuse you basically of being a pervert and coming into their hotel room to look at your underwear when he had no idea that her underwear was even there. So, and then you don't return people's money after you back out of their conferences. So why would these people, this people, Pastor John Moore and his wife, they go on YouTube to make a video about their experience, and they're still saying, oh, we still love Dr. Bynum and we respect her and she's a woman of God. And he says, I'm a man of God and I'm a man of integrity. No, you're not a man of integrity. You're not. Because if you were a man of integrity, you wouldn't have Juanita Bynum at your conference. No. And Jamal Bryant, another gospel pimp preacher, pimping the gospel out. No, you wouldn't have these people. So you're not a man of God either. You're not a man of God either. So, but anyway, I'm going to play some of this audio for you. The Brother Wolf Tracker did a few programs on his network. That's how I first heard about it. And I said, this is really amazing. This story is really amazing what happened. There's also a testimony from one of the workers that actually worked. I think it was a Hilton hotel. And there was a testimony from one of the workers that worked there about this situation. I'm going to play that real quick.
This one particular night, it's not even the first time, but we would always get noise complaints for in the middle of the night, like 2-3 o'clock in the morning. But this particular night, because I like to work night shift, they called the desk, and somebody said that they was getting a noise complaint for her room. So I told the security guard, and the security guard didn't want to go up there. He was too scared because, I mean, she just gave us that feeling. And now I understand, like, it was probably something that a man sensed more than I sensed. But he didn't want to go up there. He was like, I ain't going up there. And so I just called the room and told him, hi, this is the front desk. And I could hear the music or whatever the heck she was, like, blaring. Like, you're not even staying at a hotel. Like, are you serious? It's like, this is not your house. But, you know, I called the room, her assistant answered, and I told them we received the noise complaint, can they keep the noise down? And then a little while after, the guard just went up and walked past the room to make sure that he didn't knock or anything. He just walked past the room to make sure that she had turned the music or TV or whatever the heck. Well, our TVs are, they don't go up that loud. Hotel TVs are, most of the time, they regulate it so that they don't disturb the next guest. But
no, not Juanita. No, she's got to blast her music or her maybe she was doing her shandas or who knows what she was doing in there. But they had to actually go and tell her to keep the noise down so other people can sleep. So don't talk about etiquette, Juanita. Don't talk about etiquette. Anyway, here's a clip from Ryan Chandler, and this is the young man that had Juanita at his she was supposed to come to his conference, but she came to town but backed out of the conference.
2013. If you all recall, you can put up on YouTube the advertisement, the prophetic outbreak, 2013 that I hosted in Dallas, Texas when I lived there at that time when I hosted the following speakers, Prophet Marcus McIntosh, Prophetess Barbara Calloway, and Dr. Juanita Bynum was my last speakers. Saints, I want you to know that the requirements to host at that time, Lady Crystal, hey, at that time was, for me, $5,000 deposit, four plane tickets, one being a first class for Dr. Bynum, and four hotel rooms. At that time, I don't know if y'all remember Jerry, the Caucasian gentleman that traveled with him. The host church was responsible. Well, me, let's talk about me. I was responsible for paying her sound man $1,000 in addition to the sound man that I already had. I had to have all this money. Most importantly, had to have the deposit before Dr. Bynum said yes. And I had a specific amount of time to have this money in order for her to say yes. So when we sent the money to the place that it was delegated to go, then we went to the second stage of, you know, purchasing the tickets and stuff like that. I always say this, that there is two type of expenses. Of course, you have the travel expenses, and of course, you have the honorarium for the speaker. At that time, me and Juanita Bynum Ministries, we agreed upon a 70-30 split because she had two options. If you raise an expense offering, 70% went to her ministry, raised a consecration offering, and 30% went to the ministry. If one offering was raised, it was a 60-40 split. You know, nowadays, let's just be honest, let's be transparent. You know, if you travel like I do, some speakers, they have a set honorarium, or some places, you know, you do 50-50. It's whatever, you know, whatever you, because at the end of the day, it is your ministry. At the end of the day, that have the decision if you want to go and engage that ministry or not. Now, based upon the video that I saw that Dr. Bynum released, I want you all to know, listen, my name is Prophet Ryan Chandler, and I have yet to be a line prophet. I want you all to know that I believe in my heart there's more to that story. I just absolutely believe in my heart there's more to that story. I know there's nothing. I know that there is more to that story. I begin to watch that video, and I begin to dissect the video and listen to what Prophetess Bynum said. And listen, I'm not here to come against her, but the Bible says, all I get, and let's get understanding. And if we're going to...
He doesn't want to come against her. Well, what is come against her? By telling the truth? That's not coming against somebody by telling the truth. You know, I mean, if a thief comes to your door, say a thief comes to your front door, what do? You open the door and say, come on in, help yourself. And then after they leave, after they help themselves to your stuff, you say, what a wonderful person. It's stupid. It's like, stop already. Stop. You don't have to keep defending her. You don't have to keep defending her. She's acting like a thief. Here's part two.
Require your credit card to be down there for incidentals, okay? Now, a couple of things I heard Dr. Bynum say that it is not true. And I'm bold enough to say it, that information is not true, okay? When a man of God went inside of her room, it is in my heart to believe that he possibly could have contacted her staff, or whoever was assigned at that time. The staff didn't pick up. Of course, he couldn't contact Dr. Bynum directly. So when he did not get any response, then perhaps he did walk up in her room, and then he saw, you know, her belongings and saw all of the stuff that she alleged that he saw, okay? And this is just because she was not there. He did not walk in the room while she was in there, okay? Someone, a third party, told her that he was in the room. He denied it. What he said was he was coming to deliver a basket or something to that nature, whatever, that she said that he was coming to deliver. Now, watch this. And I believe that because when you drop gift to Prophetess Bynum Rooms, her staff has a tendency of taking the stuff that you have gifted to Dr. Bynum and throwing it away or removing it, because they treat her as if she's a god versus a servant of the Lord. And let me tell you something, people of God, this grieves me. It grieves me to the highest power, because Prophetess Bynum, as internationally known as she is, integrity has always got to be key. This is the same tactic that happened when she came for me in 2013, arrived to my city in Dallas, Texas. She was paid her deposit. We paid her money. Had the check already ready for Jerry, sound man. Had the black cars that she requested, because I think she said in her video that she didn't want to ride in no white car, or she didn't want to ride in no white limo. Now, I find that not to be true, because when she arrived in my city, she dropped in a white Escalade. Okay. Then another thing, she stated that she don't run hotel rooms up. She don't get food, or when she uses the phone, she only calls the operator. Well, she ran my rooms up $600. Okay, $600. So I guess I'm trying to figure out, why didn't you fulfill your contractual obligation, because at the end of the day, you were still contracted to come and minister at this event, at this facility. And on a legal aspect, unless you have something in the contract, in which I don't believe there is, because in my contract, there was nothing listed as to, in the event that something happens to the host pastor, he doesn't receive his deposit back, or we won't render the service that he has contracted the ministry, or contracted Dr. Juanita Bynum Ministries to do. Okay? I'm sure in that contract, that is not listed. It has not been spoken. So now my question is, Prophetess Bynum, does this man, does this pastor get his money back for you doing basically a no-call, no-show? I'm still waiting on my deposit, my $12,000 in travel expenses that I paid to bring you in. Listen, I still got CDs, DVDs, radio advertisement. It becomes very...
Yeah. This poor guy. He's still in la-la land now. Still, Dr. Prophetess Bynum. No, it's just not prophet. This is false Prophetess Bynum. False Prophetess Bynum. Stop calling her prophetess. Stop calling her doctor. She's not. She's a con artist. the con artist. Just tell it like it is. Tell it like it is. So now we're going to hear Pastor John Moore and his wife. And I'm like, what is wrong with you? Anyway, let me play this. I don't know if it's going to be hard to hear, but I want you to hear this David E. Taylor guy, this cult leader. Listen to him rebuking Juanita Bynum. Let's see if it comes up.
I don't care if you've been on the scene before me. You need to shut up and submit to this power. That's right. I'm gonna tell leaders that are under me to bring you in accountability. I said, go get those suckers. Tell them they're coming, dead man. Darn punks. Most of them are punks in the church. They talk a lot of stuff, but they won't get into no real fight. Just a bunch of talk. Try me. See if my power is great. See if what I got is true. I know he's going to back me. I don't know about you. Come on, y'all ain't talking to me. I don't care who you are. Don't you ever approach me with no prophetic mess, thinking that you are above this rank. You don't even talk to God face to face continually. You should shut up and be respectful.
Oh my God.
I even rebuked Joyce Meyer's pastor. He tried to come against me. They have a massive church. These people think because they have a massive church.
Oh dear. You can't make it up, right? How dare she rebuke him when they don't talk to God face to face? Oh, these people are crazy. I mean, it is crazy. Anyway, let me play Juanita's side of the story here. Let's listen to poor Juanita. She was having a crying fit.
To the hotel, and so I really didn't pay attention to a lot of the riffraff until I got to my hotel. When I got to my hotel, people, I walked in my room in the mini suite, which I would show a picture of the hallway when you open my front door. And when I walked into the room and turned the corner, of course, all of my things I laid out the way my secretary always laid them out. My assistants come in. They always come into a hotel room before me. They pray before I come in. They cover furniture with white sheets. That's just me, because I don't like to contend with a lot of stuff and people sitting on furniture and having sex on furniture, and that's just the sensitivity that I have. So they cover the chairs or the couches with white sheets, and they pray in the room and prepare the room for me. And somewhere on the bureau, my God, this is so embarrassing, they would have on the bed, I travel with a blanket that says, be still and know that I'm God. And they put that blanket on the bed, and my pajamas are laid out on the bed. And then on top of the bureau is all of my underwear, my panties, my stockings, my bra, whatever else I put on is laid out on the bureau for when I get ready to minister. Well, at that point, I was told that the pastor had entered my room without me being aware that he had been in my room. And so I said to my assistant, what do you mean he's been in my room? So when I turned around, I said, you mean like been in my room and saw all of my underwear? And she said, yes, ma'am. And I said, well, how do you know that? She said, because the secretary called upstairs, Marissa Brown,
mm-hmm.
was the manager on duty, called upstairs very rude to Juanita and said, why do you have two rooms in your name? And Juanita said, I don't have two rooms in my name. I checked in with all of Dr. Bynum's credentials like I always do, which gives me permission to take her key and prepare her room. She said, when it's all of her stuff, her underwear and stuff laid out over everything
like the pastor said it is. So Eunika said, what are you talking about? She said, well, just answer my question. Is all of her things laid out on the bed and on the bureau like he said it is? And Eunika said, well, yes, it is. But that's all I want to know. And she hung up. Well, at this point, Eunika proceeded to find that very interesting. So she located the pastor. And she asked him, well, when she got downstairs, she asked the Barissa Brown lady, why would you give this pastor a key to her room? And the lady said, because he paid for the room, he got a right to have a key to her room. And Eunika said, we traveled all over and I've never heard of that. And so the fact that I'm getting ready to go and sit in somebody's pulpit who's seen all of my underwear. I'm sorry, people. That I just felt naked and I still...
I can't help it. You know, I mean, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous because, first of all, the guy didn't even know he knew she wasn't there because she didn't arrive at the hotel yet. And like I said before, not even in his wildest dreams, and I'm going to play his response to this after this. He had no idea that her staff lays out her underwear. And to tell you the truth, I mean, everybody knows that people wear underwear. It's not a surprise to anybody. I mean, this woman, she's got issues. She's got issues. Anyway, here's what... Johnny Moore, the pastor, and his wife have to say about
to address some allegations that were stated on Facebook by Dr. Wainwright. We have been partners in ministry for 8 years. We are committed to excellence and servanthood in our ministry. We have hosted speakers, been hosted, and continue to pursue the calling of God on our lives with excellence and servitude. Recently, during our Breaking Rules conference, there were some allegations posted on Facebook that we want to address as a couple, as partners in ministry. We have the honor and privilege of hosting Dr. Juanita Bynum, somebody and respected in ministry for our conference. However, through miscommunication, misunderstandings, and a Facebook live post, the details and frustrations have been made public. We want to be the first to apologize for any misunderstanding, miscommunication, disrespect, and offense. We always operate from excellence and servitude. Together, we planted Experience Church 5 years ago to fulfill the call of God on our lives. We had incredible things done at the hands of the Lord. We were excited and in anticipation asking Dr. Juanita Bynum to join us for the Breaking Rules Conference. We are and heartbroken that it has played out the way it has. We are heartbroken that her offense on Facebook, as opposed to an in-person conversation or over the phone, if we had a way to contact her, we would. But we wanted to share our heart with you because we are passionate about what God is doing. Distance breeds distortion. We have seen this occur in this situation, and we want to eliminate all of that.
Right. Yeah, we do. And, you know, there were these allegations that my husband went into Dr. Juanita Bynum's hotel room and looked at her personal things and insinuation that he even planted a camera. So today, we want to refute those allegations as they are personally and professionally offensive, derogatory, and highly unacceptable. In the video that Dr. Bynum posted, she stated that my husband went into her hotel room and looked at her panties, her undergarments, underwear, and because of this, she was not able to speak at the breaking room.
In other words, she was having a breakdown. That's what it sounds like to me. But if you go and look at this video, and of course, yeah, it was really wrong, because instead of calling the pastor and talking to him about it, she doesn't. She goes on Facebook, and you could see this video she made. I think it's like a 20-minute video, but you can see, and she's crying, and she's all upset. Why didn't you just go talk to the man? Instead, she posts a video on YouTube for everybody to see, insinuating that he went into her room and he looked at her undergarments, and then she didn't know if he planted a camera in there, and just really, really bizarre. And these guys, these two people, Johnny Moore and his wife there, they've been drinking too much Kool-Aid too, because they say, we were all excited and we were so honored. Why would you be honored? Why? Why in the world would you be honored by hosting a scam artist and a thief at your church? If they can't even tell the truth about Jesus Christ, why would you feel honored by hosting such a person? So you get what you pay for. Anyway, let's hear part two of Juanita, and then we'll hear the comeback from the Moors.
The edition line, every magazine, every newspaper, I'm the girl for the job. I know that. I'm the woman for the job. I can take it. I really can. But that just felt like a personal violation to me. If somebody knows what kind of people I am, that drew the line for me. And it took me down. And I'm sorry that I couldn't. I just couldn't walk in there. And when you opened my doors, which you will see the picture, the photograph in the caption, when you opened my door, there's a long hallway. And my two black suitcases is at the end of the hallway. That right there is reason to step back through the door and say, oh, but then you already knew I had checked in. But then you asked the manager for the key to my room. To my room. So you would have had to come down the hallway, turn the corner, and pass a bathroom and a kitchen station on the left and go into the bedroom part to be able to see that my clothes was laid out. That what I sleep in was on the bed. And I couldn't eat. And I'm sorry. And, you know, I wept for the people, because I knew they came looking for a word and not coming back. And God is going to open up other avenues and doors for me to come back to Virginia. But under these circumstances, I couldn't. And so when it is said, as if the pastor don't know why I wasn't in that building, that became like a double offense to me. And I could not lay in that bed one more second. I had to come down here and say to the people that came to hear me preach and worldwide that it's just time to tighten up the whole etiquette thing. It's too much. It's absolutely too much, and a lot of this lends to the commonality and the familiarity that we allow people, you know, in this day that we live in, to have with each other. The levels of respect has gone completely out of the window, you know, and all of that lends to, you know, all of this hat dressing and naked dressing and whatever, because then lines and walls are dropped and
anyway. It is a good idea. Let me say this. It is a good idea that if you are invited to speak at a conference, that you make sure nobody else gets a key to your room. I believe that this guy had no ill intent. He was going there to drop off a fruit basket or a gift or something, so that when she got to her room, she would be surprised to see the gift. And so I don't think he had any ill intent. Like I said before, he didn't know she was, he knew that she wasn't there, that she hadn't arrived yet. So for her to make such a big deal out of it. But anyway, if you're checking into a hotel and you're speaking at a church or somebody else gets a room for you, then just make sure that they understand and you understand that no one else is to have the key to your room and nobody else is to get into your room. I've been invited to speak. This was years ago, of course, but and I had people put things in my hotel before I got their flowers or a gift or something. That's the way things are done. So if you don't like that, then you tell the person before you go, don't give me any flowers in my room. Don't go into my room before I get there. Just make it clear so that you don't have this kind of a situation then. And then you have these accusations flying out there and, you're basically trying to ruin somebody's reputation for something innocent. And then you're practically, like Juanita, she's practically having a nervous breakdown over this whole thing. So anyway, let's listen to the second part of Johnny Moore.
Now, I have watched as my husband has slaved over this conference with excellence and also with a servant's heart to the call of God for real. And days before the conference, he personally reviewed and walked through the rooms with the hotel representative for Dr. Bynum and her team to make sure that everything was correct and right. Now, as I was actually out of town before Dr. Bynum was even in the state, I went to the hotel to check in the room and deliver a personal note from us and also a gift to show our appreciation, even an additional fruit basket. My husband, upon entering the hallway of the suite, he saw luggage in the main room. He immediately called out, "Hello, hello, is anyone here?" just to see if anyone was in the room. And then, no response. He immediately left back out of that room, and he went downstairs to the manager, highly upset of the hotel, because he thought that someone else's items, right, were in the room. We had no reason at all whatsoever to believe that Dr. Bynum or her staff had checked into her room and actually placed personal luggage in there in that room. So through a classic gift phone from my husband to the manager of the hotel to Dr. Bynum's assistant and then Dr. Bynum herself, then it became the story that he had actually entered that entire room, looked at her undergarments, and this is just absolutely not true. And if we had the opportunity to talk with Dr. Bynum about this specific particular incident, then we could have explained this to her so that she could understand it. But we are incredibly saddened by the assumptions and miscommunication that has occurred. I promise you, it is never our heart's intent to cause any hurt or any pain to anyone.
You know, it was a surprise to us that we're not going to be joining us at the Breaking Rules Conference. She wasn't going to join us at the Breaking Rules Conference. To respect and to honor her integrity, we honored her at the event and said that she was in town but unable to come that evening. We continued to pray and honor Dr. Dr. Juanita Bynum and her ministry. Distance breeds distortion, and we hope this eliminates that.
Yeah, we do. And so, you know, even though what the enemy is meant for evil, the Lord has still worked it good, and God moved in an incredible way at the Breaking the Rules Conference. You know, so while we are sad, and we really truly are, that Dr. Bynum was unable to join us, we are very thankful for what God did. So please continue to partner with us in prayer as God continues to work in and through us, the Experience Church, and also even through Dr. Juanita Bynum as well.
Well, as you heard the previous person, Ryan Chandler, say, that before these people even come and they have to pay out all this money, and they agree, of course they invite these people because they hope that they're going to get a big offering. And they split the offering. Well, he said she gets 70% and he gets 30%. I haven't looked at any of the videos that she's done I at these conferences anyway, too. But this is my thought, because I've seen her on television programs. I've seen her at a Rod Parsley event. But usually when she goes to any kind of an event, she, in the end, now he was saying that they usually take up two offerings, okay? So you know what kind of offerings these are. Maybe the first offering, they might say, this is for Juanita. The second offering is probably, most likely, it's a seed faith offering where you're going to buy a miracle. I guarantee you that's probably what happens at most of these so-called conferences. And they're, most of them are just ways to make money. I never went to a church and demanded that they give me 70% of an offering, or 30% of an offering, or then when we took up the offering, then I proceeded to do a little con artist drama there. That was never done. So one of the reasons I got out of the Word of Faith movement and backed away from that whole prosperity gospel message was I couldn't stand it. I couldn't stand the way things were done. And this was the kind of thing that was being done more and more. Now it's probably very prevalent that people don't go. Whenever I would go to a church, I wouldn't demand anything usually. I wouldn't demand that they pay my airfare. I wouldn't demand that they paid my hotel. If they wanted to, that was fine. You would think, though, that if you were traveling a long way or you were traveling overnight, that they would at least, you know, put you up. I would do that for my friends if they came to visit me. So anyway, but that was one of the things that just turned me off completely, is that people wouldn't, they weren't going just to minister to the people and to bless the people. They were going because they wanted 70%, or they wanted some, like T.D. Jakes, you have to give him $100,000 before he'll come. There was a guy, I think it was that Teen Mania or one of those ministers, I can't remember, but anyway, I think his name was Jacob Morales or Jason Morales. Anyway, he had worked for this, I think it's Ron Luce, the guy that ran it, and he worked with him, and he helped put together this event that they had with T.D. Jakes, which was a 50-minute event. And they had to pay him $100,000. That was just for his appearance. Never mind, you had to pay for his jet fuel, because he flies his own jet, his presidential suite you had to pay for at the hotel, plus all these exotic foods that you had to buy him. But this is how it was. This is what people were demanding. And the bigger your name was, the more you could demand. Well, I didn't want anything to do with that. I couldn't stand it. And I still can't stand it. I think it's just horrible. Because if we're going to be, as ministers of the gospel and people that have any kind of a public presence, you have to represent yourself a certain way. And if you're going to teach people about the Word of God and you're going to teach people about faith, and you have to practice what you preach, and you can't be a beggar and you can't be a con artist, and your motives have to be right for doing what you're doing. Otherwise, you're in the wrong business. You're just in the wrong business. You hang it up. You know, like I said before, go away and leave God's people alone. Just leave them alone. Go get a real job, get an honest job. And when you can get your head together, then come back and preach the gospel. But otherwise, just go away and leave people alone. The world will be a better place without you. God doesn't need you. The world doesn't need you. We don't need any more con artists and any more scam artists. We just don't need it. So that's the story. And there's quite a few videos that have been posted about it. I mean, it just is all over the place. But I'm going to play this last. I have this audio that I had from a while back, and this is Juanita, and she's actually saying that Jesus, she had a cloth and it has Jesus's image on it.
And it sounded like somebody had about 15 bass drums, and it sounded like all of a sudden they just went boom, 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 boom. And I jumped up and I looked around over there right where he's sitting, and I said, what was that? I said, if somebody come in this church and get on the drums while I'm laying here in prayer and sleep, and I didn't see it until then. And so a few hours later, he said, can I share something with you, prophet? He said, I heard a rumbling like a plane went low, and the building shook. He said, and it was over in that corner. I said, I jumped up, and I looked in the corner, and I saw the same thing. I said, I heard it too. Lisa said, I was scared to tell y'all. She said, but it sounded like a train was coming. And then literally, I kid you not, the pulpit was shaking until I thought I was having a dream. And he said, Dwayne said, when the noise stopped running, God told him, pick up your camera and take a picture. And he took a picture. And when you put the picture on the screen of what came up in the picture, of what came up in the picture. Listen, this don't make no sense right now to you. But go to the next picture. My God, don't die. My God, don't die. My God, now go back to the other picture. My God from Zion. My God from Zion. Now go to the next picture. Now watch this. I said, God, if it's you, Jesus, did you really show up in this place? Were you really over there? Behind the drums, behind the organ.
I'm sorry, that audio was hard to hear, but she's basically saying that all of a sudden there was this loud noise like a locomotive, and then she claims that Jesus appeared, and she's saying, God, did you really show up in this place? So what's so exciting about that? God's everywhere. He shows up everywhere. How are you going to say God is over here and God is over there? He's omnipresent. He's everywhere. So he doesn't just show up in these special buildings with people like Juanita Bynum, or there's other people that say, oh yeah, Jesus walked into the room while I was preaching, like Benny Hinn says that Jesus came and was standing on the platform at one of his services. God is everywhere. So you can't put God in a box. But they always have to be very theatrical. And they're very important people, because look, Jesus shows up at their events personally. He steps in the door. But anyway, that's our program for today. I think that I hope these people learned a lesson. I really truly hope that this Johnny Moore, who pastors this church, and this young man, Ryan Chandler, to take a good look at what you're doing and who you're inviting, who you're hanging out with, who you're endorsing, and if you're going to be pastors and you're going to minister to the people of God, keep the wolves away. That's what a shepherd does. The shepherd keeps the wolves away. And so we hope and pray that these people have learned a lesson. And what my message to Juanita Barnum is, repent, get saved for real, and stop scamming God's people. Leave God's people alone. Go away until you can get your life in order. And because that was like just too much drama for, and imagining that something happened that didn't happen, imagining that the man was putting a camera in your room and he knew you weren't there. And he didn't know what was in the room. So, but to make that kind of an accusation against somebody with absolutely no evidence and to go public with it, that's just wrong. That's wrong. And this woman has terrible issues. So I hope she can get it together. It's a sad, sad thing because life is short. And when you have a public platform like hers, of course her platform isn't as big as it once was, but she still has a public platform. You still see her on some of these telethons and things, but she is the classic case of a Nebuchadnezzar moment, because the king Nebuchadnezzar, he wouldn't obey God, and he wound up on all fours. He lost his mind. He wound up like on all fours like an animal. His hair was overgrown. His fingernails were overgrown. And he went crazy because he wouldn't obey God. And that's what happens to a lot of these people, is they just start going crazy and they start doing crazy things because they won't obey God. But the Bible says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So what's better? What's better, the wages of sin or to have a real relationship with Jesus and to follow his word, to do what he tells us to do? You'll have a much happier life. You'll have a more peaceful life. So you hope one day that these people will get it, right? So anyway, God bless you all. Don't forget the most important thing today. If you're listening and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, ask him to come into your life. Ask him to forgive you of your sins, because no matter what sin you've committed, and we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, ask him to forgive you, and he will forgive you, and he will forget about it and give you a brand new life. That's what it means to be born again. You get a brand new life. You get a second chance at life. Old things pass away, and behold, all things become new. You become a new creation. And the Bible says in Romans 10:10 that confession is made with the mouth unto salvation. We have to confess our sins, and he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. And I can guarantee you that you won't regret it, because you can't buy peace. You can't buy joy. There's some things you can't buy. God bless you.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. into a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there.